This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. It's Sharp Money here on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Patrick Maher. Maul Shaw's here. They gave Tomchek all the flags for Gone Racing.
Yeah, you got a behind the scenes look at what I do for Gone Racing. Which, by the way, is that on YouTube.
Is that all you do now?
And give out bad picks, apparently.
Very bad.
Yeah. We are deep in the.
Having a year. Let's just say that.
No, Brendan Gaughan's doing really good.
Yes. Brendan gonna be in a race soon.
There's Tony Stewart's doing like this. It's almost like a celebrity short track racing. Brendan found out last week that the South Point is sponsoring two drivers. He goes, "Well, thanks for telling me." He also said that if those two drivers can't race, he's the backup option.
Well, there we go. I might see Brendan Gaughan before you know it. All right, Amal, let's go to some baseball here. So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this first. So Clayton Kershaw, who's dealing with shoulder issues right now, is the closest guy to 3,000 strikeouts.
What's he at, like 2,700?
2,912.
Oh, he's going to get there.
He's going to get there, but there's a prop up now on DK of if he's going to get there by the end of the year, which I think this is one of the better no bets you're going to have. It's minus 200 on the no. With the injury concerns and asking Kershaw to get almost 100, to get 88 strikeouts in 2.5 months, I think that's a heck of an ask in order to get Kershaw there by the end of the year. I think that's a pretty good no at minus 200.
Well, let's look. How long is it going to, what is he going to have? Close to 12 starts? So you're talking.
He's expected back early. Expected back the first week of August.
Oh, so you're talking less than that. So you're talking 8 to 10 starts. That's a definite no. By the way, real quick, Kershaw's had four games of nine this year. And so that's his high watermark. I would say no. The rest of them, he's not been overwhelming in terms of strikeouts. I would say no.
I just don't see it happening. By the way, the Dodgers tonight opened the second half of all against the Mets. And we've talked about it through the week. I know you've given me a ton of credit for going out on a limb and saying the Dodgers are going to win the NL West. I know you've given me a lot of credit this week for that.
Yeah, Jeff, let me tell you something. I people say I got an ego, this and that. I got no qualms about giving credit where credit's due. And for you to just step out on that ledge, I mean, what are you going to tell me?
Very gutsy of me.
By the way, Wyatt, I heard he said Georgia's going to win the SEC East.
That's also very gutsy.
Vanderbilt's looking really strong this year. Are they in the SEC?
In baseball? Yeah, they are. They are. Okay, yes. Yeah, you're good.
This is going to be the last year of divisions in the SEC, too, with the move over for Oklahoma and in Texas.
It's going to be interesting. I can't wait. It's going to be a very interesting conference for sure.
But going to the Dodgers tonight, Dodgers, your guy Julio Urias, who has just had a nightmare of a year.
I like this game tonight.
Against the Mets. Just go here real quick before we look at some more season-long things. So Urias is slightly more than a coin flip favorite here, Amal. 8.5 total. I don't have anything on this game because, again, the Mets playing a little bit better and then ended the first half with a thud the last two games in San Diego. Right now, Dodgers minus 112 behind us, plus 102 on the Mets with the 8.5. Amal, you said you like this game. There's something.
Well, I like the under. I think Verlander's going to pitch well. I think Urias will pitch well. I like the first five under 4.5 here. I don't like the Dodgers bullpen still. Excuse me. The All-Star break came at the worst possible time for this team. They were sizzling offensively against the Angels. They really look like they're starting to hit their stride. But now you got JV in Citi Field. I think this should be a lower scoring game, despite the fact that you got warm weather across the country, which helps the ball carry. Excuse me. I still stand by the under 4.5 here in the first five. I don't want to get into a bullpen scenario.
You know, I'll ask you this real quick, Amal. Just looking at this second half here, again, the Dodgers. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, that you don't buy Arizona. You think Arizona is one of the teams that could fall out of the playoff picture completely.
No. I just don't think they're going to win the division. I think the depth and the talent of the Los Angeles Dodgers over 162 games overcomes the The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right now, Diamondbacks and the Dodgers tied. Dodgers technically percentage points ahead because they played two less games than the Diamondbacks. 4-1 in Arizona, 6-1 on the Giants, who are 2.5 behind the Dodgers and the D-backs right now. 22-1 on the Pods, if you want to get crazy, 8.5 back. Minus 230 on L.A. to win the NL West yet again. Amal, did you see this earlier today? The report of the Angels, if they fall out of it the next 2 weeks, are going to be willing to take offers on Shohei Ohtani. Which,
what are you going to tell me next? That the sun rises in the east?
Dang, you took my joke. God darn it.
I'm not saying it's a good joke. I'm just saying it's like, come on, dude, they had to make this move. To me, it should be malpractice if the Angels don't make a move. They're out of contention. Mike Trout is injured. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. This team is going nowhere fast. You've got the most valuable piece we have seen in baseball from a trade commodity standpoint, maybe of all time. And you're not going to make a move to acquire some draft picks. I think if you can get Shohei, you don't have to make as many deals. You could, let's say, for example, you had to give up four prospects to get Shohei. And in this case, you might have to give up six. But if you had to get two, a hitter and a pitcher of this caliber, you might have to give up eight. So you're in a better situation going to get him. To me, if I could acquire him, I would go for it. I think he's that valuable of a piece. I don't understand why the Angels aren't talking about it. Maybe it just strengthens their hand, but the longer they wait getting towards the deadline, I think it becomes a problem, Jeff.
To me, Moreno is the one who's stubborn here. I just have a hard time seeing him because, again, the Angels want to try to bring him back in the offseason. I don't think anyone believes that the Angels have a shot of re-signing him right now. So I'm just curious if Moreno thinks, all right, yeah, we're out of it. Yeah, I might get nothing for him, but the only shot I have of keeping him around long-term is if I keep him through this year and don't deal him away. I think if they trade him, he's definitely not coming back. I don't think he's coming back anyway.
What if they're buyers, though? I mean, you know.
Look, what would it take for them to be buyers? So right now, Amal mentioned it, Trout is out for the foreseeable future yet again as he continues his barrage of injuries. They're five games out of wild card number two, or wild card number two and three, because the Astros and the Blue Jays are tied. There's seven behind the Rangers. This takes, look, you probably have to play over the next 10 days. Yes, they get Houston right out of the gate, but they got to play over these next 2 weeks, probably 9-3 to realistically say, all right, we're in this thing. We can go for it.
The only reason why I say that is because you look the last 2 years. So 2021, the Braves were below 500. They were sellers. I mean, they were buyers. They got Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall.
Yeah, but
Eddie Rosario. But then you also look at the Phillies in 2022. They were below 500. They weren't, you know, selling people off. They committed. You never know when you're going to get it on a hot run. You got to play your best baseball going into the playoffs.
Well, but here's the thing: the Angels now last year. Of course, the Angels. What the Angels lose 17 in a row last year or whatever it was. That basically after that great start destroyed their season. They're doing not quite that historically awful again, but they was 9 of their last 10.
Yeah.
They were in this mix two weeks ago, and they played their way
out.
I'm not going to say fully out, but pretty darn close to being fully out.
When you look at it, they're 45-46. Wyatt, the difference is you had Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler in that pitching rotation. They don't have anybody outside of Shohei that's close to that. And as good as Shohei has been, I'd still take Zach Wheeler as a pitcher over Shohei Ohtani. I think the Phillies had more pieces to work with. When you look at this Angels team, there's just not a lot there. I think it's time for them to move on. Tell you a couple of bets I would look at. The Twins have an easier schedule. You can get a Guardians probably at a pretty decent plus price to win the division. That's not a bad one. I thought about doing this as taking the Rays. I forgot what their press minus
what,
money
in the,
price
in the East.
Yeah,
-210.
-210, and then taking the Yankees and the Blue Jays for a small price. They were 11-1. I don't think Baltimore's going to win the division. I know Baltimore is currently tied in the loss column. I still think at the end of the day, Tampa's a little bit better than Baltimore, and I think that'll rise to the surface.
Orioles right now, five clear of Toronto and the Yankees. Five clear of Toronto, six clear of the Yankees, two behind the Rays entering the second half. The question with Baltimore is just a matter of can their pitching hold up? Can their starting pitching hold up?
Yeah, but again, they've got to be competitive down the stretch. I think how many acquisitions are they going to make in this situation? I think if you're Tampa, you go all in right now. This is a great opportunity. They should go get Shohei.
Could you imagine that?
Why not? He's a rental for them. We know that.
Well, they're definitely not giving him $500 million. I can guarantee that.
They might as well just give him the franchise at that point.
I don't think it's worth that much. No. I'm kidding. But the reality is, this is a team right now in the American League is still the front runner. I still believe in the American League. You can bet on any of these teams. It's wide open in the AL. I think the NL is a Braves favorite, but as Wyatt alluded to, whoever's playing the best baseball as we go in late September into October has the best chance. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for anybody. That's why I think, to me, the NFL is very comparable. It's a one-game scenario, so anybody can win, just like the NCAA tournament. However, in the other sports where you have long extended series, baseball and hockey are so intriguing because it's whoever gets hot. Basketball, generally, the most talented teams usually end up at least close to winning.
So the thing that makes this complex with Ohtani, if he's going to get dealt, is, look, let's face it, other than the Dodgers, probably the Mets could fool themselves into being in the mix just because of the amount of money that Cohen has. Maybe the Giants and the Yankees, maybe, are the only teams that could realistically see themselves signing Ohtani in the offseason. So let's say you're Cincinnati, okay?
Yeah.
You have all this youthful talent. You've come out of nowhere. You are in desperate need of a frontline starter.
Yep.
Like, would you dare? Like, if you're like the Reds, the Rays, I think, are a good example of this. Baltimore is a good example of this. Like, all these teams that have some good prospects, he's not. Shohei Ohtani is not re-signing with you. This is, you have to win it this year with him on your roster.
I would agree with you, but it's a pretty good gamble. And if you can get there and you get it done, it justifies everything. You know, if you can win a World Series, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, you can take the next decade off.
I could have them all sitting back in the office chilling. It's okay.
It's over.
Got your championship. We're good. When we come back, we're going to the AFC West. Vic Tafer of The Athletic covers the Raiders. Get his thoughts on Vegas and more in the AFC West next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. Because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. This message is paid for by NHTSA. Welcome back in. I'm Jeff Parles. I'm Amal Shaw alongside. Happy to be with you. Wyatt Tomchek here as well. And now joining us, he covers the Raiders for The Athletic. You can find him on the tweets at his name, at Vic Tafer. It is Vic Tafer with us right now. Vic, thanks for hopping on with us today.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well, Vic. And I just want to get into what you wrote about today over at The Athletic. Of course, going down to the wire until for Josh Jacobs and the Raiders to get a long-term deal done. Of course, they signed him on the one-year tag with the non-exclusive franchise tag earlier in the summer. How do you think this plays out over the next 72 hours?
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I started making the calls, I was kind of surprised by going down the wire. I thought it might be a done deal as far as not going to happen, but I think there's still a chance that it could happen. I think both sides have to realize where they're at in this thing. But I think they're probably leaning towards not happening, but I think there's still a chance. I think, both sides realize where they're at in these negotiations.
Vic, Jimmy Garoppolo fails the physical. Where is the status of with him currently with the Raiders, the contract, and where do the Raiders go if he's not the guy for them?
Good question. The only guy who really knows that is Jimmy G. He's not saying it. I think the Raiders are saying they're confident he'll be ready for training camp, but what else are they going to say? They're not going to tell us he's not going to be ready for training camp. So right. We'll have to see in 10 days. But if he's not ready to go, then it's Brian Hoyer's show. I know that's very exciting for everybody. So Brian Hoyer will be the man of the hour for a little while.
If you mentioned Brian Hoyer, obviously this team is not expecting to have Super Bowl plans if he's under center. But when you look big picture with this team, Caleb Williams at USC, Drake May are two very intriguing prospects in next year's NFL draft, the quarterback position. This is an area they're going to need to fill long term. Could this team be that poor where all of a sudden they're looking at a potential top five pick or something to that effect?
I don't think so. There's still enough talent on the roster. I know, like, Max Crosby and Devontae Adams wouldn't want to hear talk about Caleb Williams, but I wouldn't say it's not possible. I think if things are going in the wrong direction, you might see them double down on that pursuit. But I think right now the talent they have in offense, even with Jimmy G out for a while, was still pretty good. Defense, I hope, has improved with some young players they added in the draft. So I think they're not thinking about Caleb Williams right now.
Vic, right now in the Defensive Rookie of the Year markets, Tyree Wilson is the third betting favorite at 9-1. What type of impact do you expect to see from him right away? Of course, behind Chandler Jones right now, and obviously Max Crosby, as we know, with all pro aspirations.
That's a tough one because, you know, you asked about Jimmy G. I think Wilson's kind of in the same boat. He's got a foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying they hope he's ready for training camp, but I'm not sure that's going to be true. So those kind of things, you never know when he'll be starting, if, you know, how much time he'll miss, and you know, what it costs him. But I think ideally he's ready to go. You know, by the time the season starts, he has two great guys in Crosby and Chandler Jones to learn from. They both are welcoming opportunity to kind of groom him a little bit. He's got all the athletic skills you want. He needs a little experience, a little polish. So ideally they have a great pass rush with those three guys, but we'll have to wait and see when he hits the field.
Vic, we know the situation with Josh Jacobs probably going to hold out, and obviously your article will speak more to that. But from the running back market in general, not just Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, everyone else, we see Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook still outside waiting for a potential contract somewhere. Well, just give me your big picture point in terms of how you think running backs are going to be valued going forward, or is this going to be the trend from now on?
Yeah, I think this is it. I think it's sad for running backs, especially like guys like Jacobs and Barkley, who's kind of proven themselves. And Jacobs led the league in rushing, and he can't get a new contract. It's kind of he's only 25 years old, so that's kind of jarring. But I think it's been proven that these teams can plug in guys who are rookies or free agents, you know, veteran guys who have been around, and they still do pretty well. I mean, the Raiders themselves, a couple of years ago, they plugged in, you know, Peyton Barber and Kenyon Drake, and they were fine. So I just think it's tough for running backs to kind of prove they're worth being at the top of the market for all players overall.
Vic, just looking at the AFC West as a whole here, the Raiders have the lowest win total of 7.5, Denver's at 8.5, Chargers 9.5, Kansas City defending champs at 11.5. Just as you look through this division as a whole, we all expect Kansas City to win it again. Who do you think is the team that is actually closest to Kansas City right now in that division?
That's a good question. I think the obvious answer is the Chargers in the playoffs last year. They got Justin Herbert. But I think Sean Payton's going to have a good first year. I think even last year towards the end, Russell Wilson started showing signs the last month of starting to quantify what his problem was. I mean, you know, probably a bad offense with the offensive guy that had last year. But I think he started showing signs of playing better end of last year. He's in good shape. So I kind of like the Broncos to kind of be the surprise team in that division.
Russell Wilson, you think he's able to overcome with the coaching of Sean Payton some of the issues he had last year?
Yeah, I think, again, I don't really know exactly what was the problem with the offense last year. He didn't play very well, but I thought the last month he played a lot better. I think he's a veteran guy. I know Sean Payton probably won't take that job once he knows he can kind of turn around Russell Wilson a little bit, and they have some history together. So they have good players around him. I'm not sure what the running back situation is, but I think Russell Wilson will be fine. I think they're probably going to be the second-best team in that division.
Vic Tafer with us right now, covers the Raiders for The Athletic. You can get him on the tweets at his name, at Vic Tafer. Just looking at the AFC as a whole, Vic, look, they're ultra competitive. I would say 13 out of the 16 teams, you can make a legitimate argument that they could make the postseason this year. Just what are your overall thoughts here with, again, looking like a very competitive race for those wild cards and really all the divisions except for maybe the AFC West?
Yeah, I think the Bengals definitely are right there, ready to kind of turn the corner. They've been poised the last few years, and they realize the window's kind of closing with some of the contracts they have to figure out in the near future. So I think this is their time. I like the moves the Dolphins made. I think the question there, obviously, is Tua. You think he can hold up? If he can, they got a pretty good roster, a pretty good coach. So I think the Dolphins are kind of my team to make some noise this year.
Vic, just one last question for you, just NFC-wise. We know that, look, the conference seems to look very much weaker than the AFC on paper. The Eagles, the betting favorites to get back there. Questions at quarterback for San Francisco. What are you looking at in the NFC and just maybe a team that you may think may surprise on the positive or negative side?
Wow, and the Cowboys are such a weird team because they're always talked about, you know, ad nauseum and Dak Prescott, blah, blah, blah. But they were pretty close last year. They kind of gave the Niners some trouble. I think, I'm not sure how they were done against the Eagles, but pretty good roster. I think Dak is definitely still one of the top guys in the league, maybe not top five, but probably top dozen guys in the league. So I think the Cowboys have enough talent where they can definitely make a run this year.
He's Vic Tafer again, covers the Raiders, senior writer at The Athletic on the tweets at his name, at Vic Tafer. Vic, thanks for hopping on with us today. We'll talk again soon.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Amal, just keeping in the AFC West here, because, again, we brought it up a little bit yesterday. I think the Raiders, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo is not healthy, have the chance, like you said yesterday, bottoming out for Caleb Williams. There are worse things that could happen for this franchise moving forward. My concern is that, unlike Arizona, who I think has no talent, unlike Tampa, who I think is the worst coach in the NFL in Todd Bowles, unlike Houston, who, even though I think Ryan's is going to end up being pretty good long term, but rough adjustment, rookie quarterback could be rough. They could end up with 3-4 wins pretty easily. The Raiders just have more talent than those teams, even with possibly, again, if Garoppolo isn't healthy, you're with Brian Hoyer, Aiden O'Connell, it's a bad mix.
Yeah, and the other thing is, what I always find interesting is when you have teams that have certain expectations, Raiders have an expectation, they believe within their locker room they can make the playoffs, but without the quarterback play, it'll be very difficult. So we could see potentially certain guys get shut down if the team's far out of contention, they look like they're having a bad season. I think, you know, what surprised me what Vic said was he thought the Denver Broncos were going to finish second in that division. I see this thing as being the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chargers, followed by the Broncos and the Raiders. And you can, you know, I'm not completely convinced the Broncos are going to be in that position simply because Sean Payton has taken over. I got to see it from Russell Wilson. And I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan, but this guy's been a shell of himself.
You know, it's just one of those, Amal, where we talked about it a little bit yesterday, where I think Sean Payton's a top three coach. I think it was more Payton making Breeze than Breeze making Payton in all those years in New Orleans. But if Russell Wilson is washed, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what Sean Payton does. If the quarterback has no talent, it doesn't matter how good the coach is. You may steal a game or two, but you're not going to steal many. But the problem for them, I mean, Jared Stidham's their backup. They don't even have a legitimate option behind Russell Wilson to say, all right, if Russ is ineffective, we're going to bench him. We're going to try to win with our backup. No. You're not going to do that with Stidham, even though I think everything we saw from Stidham, especially that Niner game last year, was a little bit shocking of how well he played. He did not play well in the following week against Kansas City. But it's Russ or bust. And I know that's kind of what it has to be for Denver, but they don't even have a good backup on their roster.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And that's the area of concern I have when I look at this Broncos team. Here's the other problem, though. You got Russell Wilson to a long, long-term contract for a lot of money.
Yeah. No way out.
Nope.
No easy way out, at least, of that. When we come back, we're going back to baseball. We'll see if Amal has more plays on the diamond today. And also, the make-miss playoff odds in the American League, a really compact race. We break it down next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus instantly. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Welcome back in. Happy to be with you. It is Sharp Money. I'm Jeff Parles, Amal Shaw. Why Tom Check here as well. Amal, just looking at some games for Friday real quick as we look through some baseball make-miss playoff odds as well. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Very important series starting, and this is the first game out of the gate, 6 o'clock Eastern time, Philadelphia and San Diego, Phillies at home. Christopher Sanchez and Yu Darvish, your pitching matchup. But Amal, we talked about this yesterday. Phillies, just on the outside looking in, the Padres are the first team after the cluster near the playoffs with Philadelphia and Milwaukee, 6 games third wild card, entering play today. And Amal, I don't know if you have anything on this game. I do not. But this is the most important series out of the All-Star break because I think it's going to dictate two things. It's going to dictate how serious of a contender the San Diego Padres are going into this second half, and they could be a big-time seller. It's also going to dictate what the Phillies are. If they can at least, if they take 3 out of 4 and move themselves in, their schedule only softens after this.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, Yu Darvish to me has been one of the most overrated pitchers in baseball for the last decade. I've just never been a big fan of his. He's just not able to deliver, Jeff, when they need it most. He's a guy that looks great for 4 innings, all of a sudden has a singular inning where he blows up. He's 36 years old right now, but if he can get on track, he'll be 37 next month. This team could be pretty dangerous when you see what they have in terms of Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove right now. I mean, I'm just not a big believer in Yu Darvish at this point in time, but this is a great opportunity to have an effective start. This would really help this team. He's got a 4.87 ERA right now. He's got to get things going in the right direction.
You know, and we said this we'll get to the NL side in a little bit, but again, the Padres of the disappointments in the NL seem to be the one team that you could at least see a run out of in this second half. One other one I want to bring up on the American League side, and that's technically two first place teams in Arlington, them all, because the Cleveland Guardians are in first place, amazingly enough,
right,
in the American League Central. They'll throw Aaron Civale tonight against John Gray, total 8.5. You know, so the Guardians right now to make the playoffs are plus 130 them all. They are that exact same price to win a division, which makes sense. They
Absolutely.
Should be the same pricing right now on make miss the playoffs, along with their AL Central, because the whole AL Central stinks. Would you look to bet Cleveland in that division? Minnesota seemingly has let the Guardians off the hook in this first half, where Cleveland is. It's kind of like the AL Central or AL West in a light way, where Cleveland mediocre, Minnesota more mediocre. Minnesota plays a tougher schedule down the stretch, and the Guardians, despite all sorts of injury issues, have the division lead and seem to be in pretty good shape, all things considered.
No, I would agree with you completely. I think when you look at it, these guys have missed some opportunities there. If you are the Minnesota Twins, you're allowing the Guardians to hang around. Now let's see if they can go acquire a bat. Start off in a decent matchup here tonight, Civale against John Gray. This Rangers team, I want to see if they can sustain themselves from a pitching standpoint. So I think Cleveland is going to win this division. I know Minnesota is the better team on paper, but I think the Guardians pitching is better. Even though Shane Bieber could potentially be on the move, that's one area of concern I have. I still like the Guardians. I think their pitching is better overall. I don't know if guys like Sonny Gray can give you that quality over the course of the entire season.
Well, the one concern with Bieber is the underlying numbers have been pretty ugly. He's gotten a little bit fortuitous through this first half of the season, and you mentioned it them all, where the Guardians, I think, have the most complicated trade deadline strategy of anyone in baseball. Because when you're in a horrible division like this, what do you think of all? 85 wins gets it done. 85 and 77 is probably enough this year in the AL Central.
That sounds about right.
So if you're Cleveland, you go to the trade deadline in 17 days, mm-hmm. 18 days because it's down to first. Let's say you're leading the division by a half game and you're two games over 500. You can't sell. You can't sell because you're legitimately in the mix to win a division. But do you really want to mortgage guys who are under contract for some length to try to win a mediocre division and more than likely get eliminated? Maybe you win a wild card series, but you're not winning two legitimate series in the American League this year if you're Cleveland.
Probably not. But again, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, right? I think it can be done. I look at the American League, I think any team that's in the postseason can win it. It's not like the National League where I go, whoa, this looks like it's going to be pretty tough.
Well, that's the thing going in the American League. I think the four teams in the American League, sorry, Boston, and Texas, Houston, and you know what? If Seattle gets things going, I think they are dangerous if they were to make a playoff scenario with the roster that they have. Good frontline starting pitching, good back-end bullpen, and a youthful lineup with a whole boatload of talent, them all. I don't think anyone in the Central is capable. Minnesota's a bunch of choke artists when things get tough, as we know.
Right.
And Cleveland's just not good enough. So, Amal, if you told me one of seven teams made the World Series out of the American League, I'd be like, you know what? It's not overly surprising to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a wide open race right now. I think anybody's capable of potentially getting in there.
Looking at these other make-miss playoff odds as we enter the second half. So, on the American League side, the Stros are the teams with the biggest price you have to lay that are listed at DraftKings, minus 310 on Houston, minus 295 on Baltimore, minus 235 on the S for Texas, minus 220 on Toronto. Yankees, this is the one that I think is priced wrong, them all. The Yankees, you can still get a price on the no, mm-hmm. plus 120 on the no at DraftKings, where this lineup without Aaron Judge is a mess. They have a bullpen that's questionable. Rodon's making a second start post-injury tonight in Colorado for them. But the Yankees, currently out of the mix, seven games over 500. We have no idea when Aaron Judge is going to return.
Right.
Plus 120 on the Yankees is pretty good on the no end of yes, no making the playoffs.
I tend to agree with you. The Yankees, though, have a very easy schedule out of the block. Remember, Tampa got off to a fast start because they played Oakland, Washington, and Detroit, not in that particular order necessarily to start the season. The Yankees have a comparable schedule. They open up tonight, what, in Colorado?
Yes.
And then they've got Detroit coming up as well. They've got a very manageable schedule. So let's see if the Yankees can get on track here.
Colorado, the Angels, the Royals, the first three series out of the break.
There you go.
No good teams in that mix.
No.
So an opportunity for the Yankees. And then after that, the schedule gets much more difficult. The Mets, the Orioles, the Rays, and the Astros, the next four series after that.
It's going to be challenging.
Picks up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so actually, that might be one of those scenarios, Amal, where we talk about this with these types of futures. Maybe you wait on it, actually, with that schedule. I still think plus 120 is pretty good on a no. But if the Yankees come out of the break, let's say they go 6-3 and are in one of those wild cards, which is more than plausible. And then you get this brutality of a schedule the next 2 weeks after that, probably looking at plus 165, plus 170, maybe even a little bit better than that on the no if the Yankees are in a playoff position in 10 days from now.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it's definitely a different scenario, so that's something that you definitely have to consider as this thing goes forward.
Can I interest you guys in a 25-1 on the White Sox to make the playoffs?
No, you cannot.
No, you
cannot. They stink. They're a horrible baseball team. And, you know, so I'm all, we eyeball in the National League, and properly so, the Cardinals, the Padres, and the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Because those teams, the Cardinals were the correct favorite to me going into the season in the NL Central. The Mets and the Padres had legitimate World Series aspirations.
Right.
The White Sox kind of get a break because they're in such a, this horrible division and they're just forgotten about.
Sure.
But the White Sox on the American League side, I mean, this season has been a disgrace for what they've done. An absolute disgrace. They're 16 games under. They're only 8 games out of the division lead because of the pathetic nature of the AL Central.
Yeah.
But it was all supposed to be Tony La Russa's fault.
Apparently it's not.
All his fault. The old man had no idea what the heck he was doing. That's why they collapsed. No. There's something wrong with that team at its core that you get a guy in his first gig in Grifol, I thought was actually going to be pretty good. And this has been an absolute disgrace for the White Sox this year. I mean, look, I'd rather have the Tigers at 25-1 with them because at least the Tigers play hard. They're just undermanned.
Yeah. I would agree with you. The Tigers have competed. They've done a nice job. The White Sox, they look so disengaged. It's unbelievable to me, Jeff, how often you look and you go, they got talent, but they're not what you think they should be. And it's been that way the last couple of seasons. And you very aptly pointed out, it's not on Tony La Russa as much as we thought it was last year.
No, it's embarrassing. Yeah. We knew the A's were going to be embarrassingly bad. We knew the Royals were going to be terrible. I didn't think they were going to be this terrible, but they're terrible. We knew Colorado was going to be bad. We knew the Nats were going to be bad. But of the teams in them in St. Louis, the Cardinals are in their own category because of the expectations. But, boy, the White Sox should not be this awful, 16 games under, as we enter the second half of the season. We're going to go to the NL side of things. Are the Padres at 3-1 to make the playoffs worth a flyer? And is there a no on the board that we would look at taking? We'll discuss it next. It's Sharp Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get your digital copy of the NFL betting guide today. Or take advantage of our summer kickoff special. It gets you access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Great value there. At vsin.com/subscribe is where you can take advantage of all the deals. Welcome back in. It's Sharp Money. I'm Jeff Parles. Amal Shah alongside Wyatt Tomchek here as well. Amal, what was the best betting event of the calendar for me?
Yeah.
and no longer is going on right now, the WNBA three-point contest. Sabrina Ionescu is about to shoot. She was the betting favorite for this, a little shy of $3.
Should have been Jackie Young.
Jackie Young, you could have got a little north of $3. You know, it's I'm all because Allie Quigley had won this event four straight times.
Yeah.
And was never the shortest price she ever was +110. And
that
it was
short.
Pure domination all the way through. And that was the best cash cow there was the last few years. And now I didn't bet this event because again, Young, like you said, shooting 50% from three, which is just insane. And Ionescu has made the most threes, big time volume shooter, but still shooting the ball over 40% from three this year.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody in this type of contest should be that short of a favorite. It's got to be at least 2-1, even though she had won so many times in a row.
It was easy money, Amal.
I don't doubt that.
It got there easily.
I don't doubt it.
What was the event? Was it 2 years ago when they did the over-under on the All-Star game?
Yeah, with the big number.
Well, that was with our friends over at Circa who just put the wrong number up. That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, okay.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago, 2021. Because there was no All-Star game the year before, and All-Star games.
I've only worked here 2 years, and I remember it being one of those two.
See, look at that. See, it was process of elimination.
There you go.
Process of elimination.
The
world of sports betting around the time of when you got here.
Yeah, I'm sometimes smart.
Sometimes. Every once in a while. All right, going into the National League, Amal, entering the second half. We already talked about the big matchup in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So right now at DraftKings, the yes-no to make the playoffs, no, which is to miss the playoffs. The Miami Marlins are currently sitting in the number one wild card, are -230 on the yes. Now, Amal, you like this Miami team for reasons of you expect Sandy Alcantara to get better.
Which, I thought you were going to say for reasons unknown.
No, you said them yesterday. That's the reasons I know. A negative run differential, but have had an amazing go of it in one-run games. You know, Amal, I'm going to say this right now. Either Miami or Arizona is missing the playoffs. One of the two of them will not be in the postseason. And they're currently the top two wild cards. Miami's three games clear of Philadelphia. Arizona's 2.5 games clear. Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Philly and Milwaukee tied. Philly technically a percentage point ahead of Milwaukee for playing two less games. But Amal, I think I would take a shot on both the no for Miami at +190 and the no on Arizona at +145. I am concerned with pitching injuries, especially Merrill Kelly for Arizona. And Zach Gallen has really struggled away from Chase Field. And Miami, again, there's only so long you could get away with winning all these one-run games.
Please explain to me. I get your point on the Marlins, the one-run games, but you have to give them credit for finding ways to win those games.
Sure.
However, what makes you think Milwaukee or Philadelphia, who currently sit outside the wild card, now they're both half a game outside of San Francisco, are going to emerge? I don't think it's a slam dunk that the Diamondbacks or the Marlins don't make the playoffs. It's, to me, this is not out of the realm of possibility.
So, I don't trust Milwaukee. So I guess this would lead to me liking Philadelphia to make the playoffs, but I don't want to lay $2 on them to make the playoffs. I think, again, maybe I'm not as clear-headed on this, but I think the Phillies have the best shot of anyone in the National League to beat the Braves in a playoff series. Familiarity helps. Top-line starters help. Great bullpen helps. And a team that, look, at the lineup, even though it is underachieved, still has a lot of guys who are high-class players, even though they haven't played at that level. Milwaukee, I don't really buy. Milwaukee, it doesn't make any sense that they're seven games over right now, Amal, because they had a -13 run differential they can't hit. The other question is, and that is, do you trust Cincinnati? Where Cincinnati, who, by the way, Milwaukee and Cincinnati are in the stretch where they play 9 times in 21 days.
Yeah.
They already played the three in Milwaukee last week, and Brew Crew took 2 out of 3. 3 in Cincinnati start tonight. The crux of all this is, do you trust Cincinnati to still be in a playoff mix? I do, because I also think they're going to make a move for a starting pitcher that will help them at the deadline. And all that youthful talent, the one good thing that has happened here, Ellie De La Cruz came up late.
Yeah.
So you don't expect Ellie De La Cruz, who, by the way, is a cyborg at this point, you wouldn't expect him to run out of gas by the end of the regular season. Maybe he runs out of gas when the playoffs start, but
right.
I think the Reds are getting there. I think the Giants, I've been unable to figure out since the Sahidi era has started. because the roster you look on paper is like, really, this is a playoff caliber team, but it just works kind of like Tampa Bay in the American League. The Giants get there. The Phillies get there. Cincinnati holds the NL Central, and then that leaves either Miami or Arizona on the outside looking in. I actually lean Miami still over Arizona missing out, but if it was Arizona that crumbled in the second half because they started to show some real bad signs heading into the All-Star break.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said, but I still don't necessarily contend that Arizona and Miami are out of it when you look at
it. Well, they're not out of it.
What I mean by that is like that they're going to falter. They're going to fall by the wayside here. You mentioned it. Milwaukee's offense is terrible. And Philadelphia, some days they look like world beaters. Other days they look like they have no business being in this wild card race. So the challenge for the Phillies, they can only make it through the wild card. I mean, they're not going to be able to win the division. So that's a little bit more difficult where Milwaukee and Cincinnati, they have an opportunity, if they can't win the division, to get in at least as a wild card.
What about the two massive disappointments, not even counting the Cardinals? Cardinals said they're going to sell. 15-1 is not good enough for them to make the playoffs. You can't bet that.
I agree.
The Padres and the Mets, who were the two big disappointments in the first half other than St. Louis. San Diego's 3-1. The Mets are +360. I don't think that's a good enough price on the Mets to realistically take a shot. I need at least 5-1.
I would agree with you.
And then the Padres, you know, that's the tricky one here because it really does. It's contradictory for me because I like the Phillies a lot.
Yep.
Which probably means the Phillies have to not lose a series out of the gate to San Diego here in this beginning of the second half. But San Diego at 3-1, if San Diego comes out, takes 3 or 4 from the Phillies, you're probably not seeing that price again
No. The
rest of the season that it is right now at 3-1.
No, you're right about that, but I mean, I don't feel like it's high enough based on the fact that they're 6 games out of the wild card. It's highly unlikely they can win the National League West. Now, they will have an opportunity from a schedule standpoint, but it's not an easy schedule necessarily. They're 9 games behind the Dodgers in the loss column. So I think you'd have to bet them only to make the postseason. I just don't know if they're necessarily high enough odds. If you're going to take the 3-1 on the Padres, then I would take a long shot with them to win the pennant and potentially win the World Series. I think they could be good enough if they get in. Look at this opener. At Philly for 4, at the Blue Jays for 3, at Detroit for 3, fine. But you have 10 games on the road. Pirates for 3 at home, the Rangers for 3 at the Rockies. They got a 4-game set against the Dodgers. They've got the Diamondbacks for 7 games, the Marlins, the Brewers, the Giants, Phillies. They're going to play everybody that's in front of them. So if San Diego's going to make it, they've got a great opportunity.
You know, it's one of those where I do agree with you on that because the Padres, as they proved the last year, where San Diego had a reasonable regular season, nothing spectacular. They won 87 games.
Yeah.
And then they took out back-to-back series, 100-win teams. They took the Mets and the Dodgers both out before the Phillies, just their magic carpet ride was stronger than San Diego's in the postseason last year. But I'm with you. If you're taking the Padres to make the playoffs, you got to take some big bloated numbers on the NL pennant and the World Series because they're the one team like that I look at in the National League that is down the board and say, you know what, if they make the playoffs – they are dangerous. I don't care if they're in the 6th slot. I don't care wherever they are. Because if they play the NL Central champion, San Diego's probably favored in the 3-game series in Cincinnati or in Milwaukee. And then, yeah, I take my chances with them against the Dodgers in the best of 5 again.
I would agree with you completely. That's why I think the Padres are still very much alive to make a deep run. If you believe they're going to get in the playoffs, they could make a deep run in the postseason, is what I'm referring to. So I think they definitely have a shot to do that. I don't want to discount them yet. The talent is there. Can they figure out consistency? And Yu Darvish, tonight is a really important game when you go big picture in the National League. You've got a head-to-head against the Phillies. Jeff, if they drop this game tonight, you're going to have Snell and Musgrove pitching this season. So, I mean, this weekend. You got a chance to make some real hay here against the Phillies. Imagine you take 3 out of 4, but if you drop the first game, now you're going, well, at best we can make 2 games up.
So, by the way, some quick news on Kershaw. So Kershaw, in his press conference today, shoulder doesn't hurt when he throws, but the team doctor recommends rest. He's going to throw a bullpen session in Baltimore next week when the Dodgers are in Baltimore. So that is the update on Kershaw right now. Dodgers right now favorites to win the NL West. Final hour of the show coming your way next here on Sharp Money.